Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times.
Afternoon, welcome back. 5:06, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth. Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. Hour number three officially underway on this Friday afternoon, and that means the arrival of one Jeff Cooner. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, listen, I was just reading your column a little while ago, and how strange is it that we received word within the past couple of hours that the Obama administration today formally released the $1.3 billion in military aid for Egypt, despite Cairo's failure to meet pro-democracy goals. And listen to this. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton waived congressional conditions imposed last year that tied the U.S. aid to progress in Egypt's transition to democracy. So what I read out of this is, today, the administration went around Congress and handed $1.3 billion in military aid to the Muslim Brotherhood?
To the Islamists. I mean, it's a stunning, stunning development, Andy. Look how they flagrantly violate Congress, the oversight of Congress. They're thumbing their nose at Congress. Again, this is another act that I believe is unconstitutional and extra-legal. And now, on top of this, the Muslim Brotherhood is now calling for ending the treaty with Israel. They are rabidly anti-American. They are calling for a pogrom against Coptic Christians across Egypt. They are aligning themselves with Iran, with Hamas, and with Hezbollah. And rather than condemning them, rather than criticizing them, rather than stating the obvious, which is that they are destroying and dismantling any hope of a secular democracy in Egypt, we're arming them. We've just given them a $1.3 billion check. We are arming the Muslim Brotherhood to the teeth. These are weapons that are going to be used to crack down on dissidents, probably used in a potential conflict or skirmish or war with Israel, could probably be smuggled to jihadists and potential terrorists all over the Middle East. We are arming and aiding and abetting our own enemies. And we're doing this, Andy, in spite of the fact that Congress has said, no, there have to be certain conditions to military aid. We know what kind of people the Muslim Brotherhood are. We know they were set to rise to power. We know the dangers now that of arming these sort of fanatics. And instead, we're doing this in flagrant violation of the law, in flagrant violation of Congress, in flagrant violation of the Constitution. But, Andy, that's not the big issue. No, according to Obama, forget the Muslim Brotherhood coming to power. Forget the fact now that we're losing in Afghanistan. Forget the fact that we had a jihadist, a madman, massacre seven people in France and brought a whole country to its knees. The big issue, Andy, is this shooting in Miami. This is the big issue now. Now he's getting into race mongering, going on about this poor kid, this 17-year-old poor African American kid that was shot in Florida, and now he goes out of his way, out of his press conference today, to say if he had a son, he'd look like Trayvon Martin. Andy, this is dangerous stuff. This guy is potentially fomenting a race war. He is now trying to placate Louis Farrakhan, who's saying there'll be retaliation now in Florida.
Yeah.
I mean, this to me is unbelievable. Al Sharpton is talking about violence and leading a massive protest, and these are the people that the president is listening to? Andy, really, all this is now, we're going way beyond ideology and politics.
You know, and it's interesting that you're talking about this Trayvon Martin situation down in Florida, because I was going to touch base with you on this. And today, as part of the speech, as part of his answer to the quote-unquote question in the Rose Garden, he made a comment that I kind of narrowed this down to just a couple of seconds, and I want you to hear it.
And that means that we examine the laws and the context for what happened, as well as the specifics of the incident.
Okay. Now, as far as I can figure, this guy Zimmerman, he broke the law, and you can't stop people from doing that. The law, I believe, in Florida is a good law, but now the focus is not only race, but it's going to be in trying to get these right to defend laws thrown out. In fact, last night I saw a chart on one of the talking head shows that explained how many states had it in the United States, like 14, and they're going to send out the rallying cry. They want these laws thrown out. So only the bad guys are going to have guns.
Exactly. In the end, they're going to empower criminals. They're going to hurt victims. It's an assault on victims' rights. And what is to me really despicable here, Andy, is the alleged killer, the alleged shooter, name is George Zimmerman. When you think, well, let's be candid, you say George Zimmerman, you think, well, white or maybe Jewish.
Yeah.
He's Hispanic.
Yep.
In fact, he's, I think, partially black. He has black family members. He's a minority himself. Now, look, if he shot this kid, he should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. This was apparently, this poor kid only had candy and iced tea in his pocket.
Right.
Believe me, I have no sympathy for George Zimmerman here. But since when this stuff happens, it happens in every country around the world. It happens in every town, in every state. Why all of a sudden, just because the victim happens to be black, and the so-called civil rights leadership, led by these phonies like Al Sharpton and Louis Farrakhan and Jesse Jackson, threaten a boycott and threaten a protest, all of a sudden the national media goes crazy? We have to call in the FBI? We have to call in the Department of Justice? The President of the United States has to comment on one local crime? Andy, look, I don't want to play the race card. I don't like talking about race because I truly believe we're all equal in the eyes of God. I don't like it. It makes me very uncomfortable. But if they're going to play it, I have to just state the obvious. Where was President Obama when you had black teenagers on a rampage in Wisconsin, all across Milwaukee, at a big festival last summer, where they told blacks who were people were leaving this festival in cars, they told black drivers, you go, you go, and they deliberately targeted every white victim. Whites were killed, whites were beaten, whites were tortured. It was a pure hate crime. I'm not talking about one kid being shot. I'm talking about many people, a couple being killed and many people being attacked and tortured and raped. Where was the president? Where was the national media? They were silent. So, Andy, look, we're all children in the eyes of God. I feel for his family. If I lost my boy, my God, I don't know how I could go on.
Rip your heart out.
I rip my heart out. But look, this stuff happens. It's a crime. And now, the fact that why is the color of his skin so relevant? Why is it if a person who's killed happens to be black, suddenly it's a racial hate crime, or it's a national incident, or it demands national media attention? He's a human being. And so we have these double standards in place where we're kind of institutionalizing racial categories. Where all of a sudden now, well, if a white person gets killed, it's not a big deal. If it's an Hispanic person, it may be a big deal. If it's a black person and it's a non-black person who shoots him, then it's a big deal. Aren't we all Americans?
Well, what about last night? As a prime example, last night in Philadelphia, in fact, yesterday afternoon, it was still daylight, they're filming a rap video in the streets, in public, 100 people, over 100 people witnessed a murder. Witnessed a murder. You had some thugs just start firing at one of the guys in the that was being filmed in the video and killed him. Cops were standing there. And have you seen Al Sharpton today in the streets of Philadelphia? No, of course not. Have, you know, it, again, because it was a black-on-black crime, it's
See?
Totally
That's what it is.
Different.
It comes down to race. It's always race. And that's what I find most disgusting. Andy, they're exploiting this young man's death. This is what is so heinous. They're exploiting this young man's death for Al Sharpton to get ratings, to give himself national prominence, to give Louis Farrakhan prominence. They raise money off of this thing. Obama uses this to galvanize the African-American vote, to inflame the African-American vote, to get white, guilty white liberals to support him. They are playing politics on the corpse of this young man. It is absolutely despicable. And if I were the member, if I were his parents, I would get out and say, leave my son alone. Stop playing politics with my son. This guy is going to be prosecuted, George Zimmerman, if he's guilty, and it looks like he is. Believe me, this guy is going to be prosecuted. He's going to be convicted. He's going to be sentenced. This man's life is over. This life, George Zimmerman's life is finished. So justice will be served here. We don't need Al Sharpton. We don't need Jesse Jackson. And in the end, Andy, I know we're up against time now. But when you start doing this, when you start pitting Hispanic against black, white against Hispanic, this identity politics that we've been playing in America now for a couple of decades, it's the Balkans. My family comes from the Balkans. My grandparents came from the Balkans. I visit family in the Balkans. You don't want to go down that route. It is bloodshed. It is ethnic violence. It tears at the very fabric of society. We don't know the fire that we're playing with here. You start getting mobs of people and you start pitting races against one another, you're going to have a war.
Yep, you're exactly right. All right, my friend, in spite of it all, try to have a good weekend.
You too, buddy. God bless you, man.
Take care. Jeff Cooner of the Washington Times, 516, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth.